I don't know if I had any fun facts last time, but I don't have them this time.
NFL player Joe Johnson and Phil Filson are in this. Welcome to I Hate Your Movie, where I have to suck it up as a sore loser of our little trivia game that we did. I lost.
You did lose. Fairly close.
Yeah.
It has to be said. I was going to gloat then for a second. I was like, rather spectacularly you lost, but then I didn't. I was good, and then I reversed it.
Don't worry, I'm already preparing the next trivia.
Oh, God. Right, so let's get out of the way first. This is the second recording of Little Nicky. Little Nicky goodness. The first one we recorded was bad. We don't know why.
Yeah, it got corrupted somehow. And even now, as we were setting up, the app failed on us. So I'm pretty sure Little Nicky is haunted. This is a spooky movie.
I am both devastated and a little bit happy that we're now recording this again. When we recorded the first one, I found it hilarious.
Really?
I did. I found it hilarious because I have never seen you so angry. Like, I've seen you wage, like, online wars against people. I've seen when people are calling you a liar online, completely ripping off your work online. I've seen you really, but I've never seen you as insanely angry.
Justified.
But that did mean that I was like, oh man, did you really like this bit and that bit and that bit? And you were like, no. I was like, okay, oh, but how about this bit? And that no. So yeah. As funny as I found it, I was a bit worried about it. A bit of a one-sided podcast.
Yeah. That sums it up, basically, that last episode.
Awesome. So the good news is you got to watch it again.
Yeah, I'm a hard worker. And this felt more work than anything I've ever done. Just watch Little Nicky again on 2x speed. It was more bearable 2x, and I was doing chores as well at the same time. But I had to remind myself what's happening in this movie, because since our previous watching of it, I've tried to erase all memory of it existing in my brain.
Okay, so last time we recorded, you actually got me. You got me. Do you remember at the start of the last recording? I was like, did you like the film? And you were like, yeah, I really liked it. And for a split second, I was like, really? No.
I didn't think I got you. That was really funny. Yeah.
So did you like the film?
No. It's... Get ready for more of these. Yeah, it's just horrible. A bad comedy is the worst kind of film, because it's just miserable to me.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, like a bad action film you can laugh at. A bad horror film you can laugh at. A bad drama you can laugh at. But bad comedy is just miserable.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
A lot of it is just like, that's the joke. Like, something happens and you get the feeling just from how the movie is presenting it, that's the joke, and you're like, that's the joke.
This is like a quite nostalgic film to me. Came in the year 2000. Yeah. I was 14 years old at the time. So it's that level of humor that I really enjoyed. And there is parts of it that we endlessly quoted as kids. The bit in that Tarantino does where he's like, we are all gonna die. I remember us quoting that over and over and over again. I don't particularly find it that funny now, but there are still like moments where I'm like, I remember that.
Yeah, this movie is a proof that Y2K really happened.
Expand.
Well, Y2K was like a conspiracy theory that when the year 2000 happens, all the computers are going to explode or whatever, or they're going to shut down and planes are going to fall out of the sky. But this movie got released, so, you know, that's almost as bad. I'm the same with Kevin Smith movies, where yes. I watched it as a teenager and I still have like some sort of... You know, Kevin Smith, he's really shown me that anyone can make a film, because he's anyone that made a film.
So what are we talking about, Kevin Smith films? Are you talking like Jay and Silent Bob? Or...
Yeah, that, Clerks. Clerks especially is a lot of filmmakers early start thinking like that. I can make this. Mm-hmm. That is nostalgic for me. However, I did not grow up watching Adam Sandler films.
So that's it.
But you did. Look how you turned up.
Excellent. Don't know what you're talking about. The ratings for this film are wildly all over the place, by the way.
Between 0 and 1.
Out of 100. Rotten Tomatoes, 21%, right? IMDb, 5.3. Amazon Prime, 4.5 out of 5.
Mm. What? That took me a second.
What?
Was that one review? And it's called...
By A. Sandler.
Yeah. Sam Andler.
Sam Andler. Let's get into the plot.
There is a plot in this film.
This is the best you can say about it.
Yeah, a guy is on a tree. He's perving on a woman. And this might be the worst directed scene I've ever seen in my life. Because it's so not clear just from the visuals of what's happening.
Well, of course it is.
No, it isn't. So it the guy is. Guy's in a business suit.
Yes, he's finished work. He's had a hard day. He wants to do some perving.
He's like very evenly
lit. You've all been there.
And the way the camera is positioned is that straight to the window. And when we see the window, it's straight out of the window. So it's like the way the camera is positioned, the woman who's undressing should clearly see this guy. And it's really annoying me. And that's why I thought in the first recording I mentioned that my first thought was that they're a couple and this is their kink.
Right.
Because that makes more sense.
You gave him more layers than you.
I know, but this makes way more sense.
Yeah, I don't mean you're going to Adam Sandler films for sense.
Okay, but it's not funny either. Why is that?
Yeah. Yeah, but... No, I was gonna try. I can't defend it. It's funny because the guy in this bit, the kid comes into the room and the guy calls the house from his cell phone. Go away, kid.
Yeah. The woman notices him and he pretends to be a bird.
Yeah.
That's the joke. That's the joke. He's a grown man pretending to be a bird and he makes bird sounds because that's silly.
Yeah. Okay. I think that just sets up the running joke for the rest of the film for that character.
Oh, the running joke.
Yeah.
The brilliant running joke.
So anyway, he falls out of the tree.
Yeah.
And he goes to hell. And that's how we introduce hell. I've always quite interesting because like when he gets to hell, they sick a giant horny bird on him.
Yeah.
And he's always shouting like, I deserve this. I deserve this. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that. Mm. What a what a layered character.
Wondered if it was like something from the Bible or something where people...
Oh, no, you know what?
Self-punish themselves.
No, but... no, it's not that. But I bet it's like a terrible 2000s commercial. Because what I've noticed during this fast-forwarded rewatch is that so many little characters stand out. It reminded me of a Scary Movie bit.
Okay.
Where it's like really, really dated references.
It doesn't happen in this film, but it'd be like someone picking up a phone and be like, what the?
It was like that. Like, there's this family at the basketball game, and the lady says, oh, baby, that's just part of the game. And she says it like 15 times. So I thought that must be some sort of terrible commercial at the time that they're referencing, and, you know, we never heard of it again.
Yeah, it might be like something that's actually happening in basketball at the time.
Yeah. So I don't give it as much clout as you, that Bible or terrible 2000s commercial.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, these films were very much of their time.
Right. You mean horrible? Ableist?
Well, yeah.
Homophobic?
A little bit.
A little bit?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
That's in the notes.
All right. That's the whole film.
It's not. Well, kind of. Horny guy goes to hell. And then the camera goes up and goes in what looks like a teenager's bedroom. And there's Adam Sandler playing a broom.
Yeah.
To a song. He's like a full grown man. I mean, he must actually be like thousands of years old. And yet he's in this teenager's bedroom.
Yeah. And that kind of personality of his never comes up again. That he's into rock music and that kind of stuff. He's just innocent.
Yeah, true.
Would have been cool if he's like actually into rock music or something.
This is where you meet the brothers.
Yes.
For the first time. That's where you meet the brothers for the first time.
Are you laughing because of my PTSD look on my face? You're bringing back old trauma.
Yes. Reese Ifans is in this. Do you know who Reese Ifans is?
Yeah, he's the David Bowie. He looks like David Bowie.
He's the crocodile guy from Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he's Crocodile Dundee.
That would be amazing. I really like Risa Farnes as an actor. I was really happy to see him in this at the time. Now I'm kind of like, oh, what were you doing? What were you doing with your life? This is where it starts getting a bit, like, odd. They mind wrestle. Mm-hmm. And he's like, even the voice in your head has a speech impediment. And he gets him to punch himself in the dick.
Yeah.
this is exactly like the last recording. <It's>
and that's the joke?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's funny. To my 14-year-old self.
You know why overall this movie is not funny? Like, I've been thinking about this, right? And this movie punches down a lot. And that's not fun. Like, if you take a really simple comedy bit, let's say the Pope gets a pie in the face.
Right.
That's funny because it's the Pope and you're punching up. And then it's a person who's had this, like, clout and something silly happens to him.
Mm-hmm.
But in this movie, as all these minorities and people who are downtrodden and already suffering something, like Nicky with his speech impediment, and something terrible happens to him, it's just not funny.
Yeah, but you have to show the kid getting bullied for him to overcome the bullies.
But this happens all throughout the movie.
Until he wins.
Then the movie goes meta and the movie itself bullies him at the end. You know, so it never stops, really.
But you know what I mean? Like, that, I do. You have to show the kid getting bullied.
I don't mean just this scene. I mean the whole movie.
Yeah.
Punching down. It's hard to make it work comedically.
One of the best scenes in cinema history is when Hitler gets a pineapple shoved up his ass.
Okay.
What's your thoughts?
I approve of the message. It's kind of a pointless scene and it's not funny. Because, like, you see, the pineapple has no relevance other than it hurts.
Yeah.
But if it had, like, an ironic twist to it, someone shoves up a German shepherd up his ass or something, you know?
The plot on Little Nicky is thin, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a portal into hell. They go through the portal the wrong way, which freezes hell.
Yeah.
And then Nicky has to go up, catch them in a flask.
Yes.
Thoughts?
To be fair, like, as a comedy premise, fine.
Yeah.
At this point, I was more just impressed with...
Impressed?
Yeah, hold on.
Wow.
Let me finish my thought. How shit. Because I only watched modern Adam Sandler films, Jack and Jill. Compared to that, this movie's doing so much effort. Like, there's creatures, sets. They're terrible, crappy sets, but whatever.
Yeah.
There's CGI, there's actual scenes. There's, you know, they don't trip over a brand every 5 seconds, like in Jack and Jill. There's lots of branding, but not as annoying as in his other movies. So I was just impressed by how much effort that went into this. Compared to a regular movie, it's still shit and it's still crap effort. But, you know, they had to do sets. They had to do miniatures.
The hell sets are pretty cool.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They're pretty janky.
Yeah, I think the sets were supposed to look cartoony. You know, yeah. I don't think they were supposed to be, like, actual hell sets. It was supposed to be, like...
Yeah, and for comedy, it works. You know, it's like horses in Holy Grail.
Little Nicky climbs up through hell and he comes up through a subway station and then immediately gets hit by a train.
Yeah.
Because that's funny.
Is it?
He gets back up from hell.
Yeah.
And he meets the dog, the talking dog.
Which is, I just realized on this rewatch that I'm pretty sure they took the idea from Men in Black, the first movie. On this recent rewatch, I was really conscious of when it was made. The other big one was the Dracula homage. I don't want to call it homage. The Dracula parody, you can call it, I guess. It's that guy who grows boobs on his head.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 90-something Dracula. Has that hairdo that looks like he has bras on his head.
Really?
And every movie made fun of that at the time, yeah.
Another recurring joke throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Old boob head.
Yeah.
Endlessly quotable.
Is it? Well, say one.
It's when Satan's dad comes in and he's like, what are you doing? Last time you said everything was fine, the Renaissance happened. Go away, go to bed, father. He's like, can I take that guy? Yeah, okay, boob head, go with him.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, very quotable. No comment.
Oh my god. So this is the bit that I said about earlier. We meet the preacher. Question for you now. What is Quentin Tarantino doing in this film?
Yeah, well, I assume he's making money.
Yeah.
You know, like he made 9 films. At the time, he made like 4 or mm-hmm. 3. So, you know, over decades, you know, he has to make money. Like David Lynch doesn't make money from his films. He does commercials and he does talks and stuff like that. So I think high vision directors who only put out like a movie every 5 years, they make their money elsewhere, really.
So we meet someone familiar in this film as well. Well, one of the actresses is familiar. We spoke about this last time. It was a bit of a surprise last time. Obviously, you're a big fan of Severance.
Yes.
I enjoyed Severance. One of the best people in Severance was Patricia Arquette, who is equally as good in this film.
The dog and little Nicky pairing was really fucking annoying because they both talk in this very put-on accent / speech impediment. And it's just grating. And they talk most of the time.
Nicky's voice annoys me.
Yeah,
there's no
the
need
dog voice annoys me too.
I didn't think the dog voice was that annoying. I thought it was kind of like what you'd expect a demon dog to sound like.
Have you seen the posters for this movie?
No.
It's so uncreative.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's just little Nicky and the dog is just sitting on a bench outside and that's it. Like, how lazy can you get? You wouldn't be able to tell what the fuck this movie is about.
That's true. Before we meet Patricia Arquette, we meet the roommate.
Oh yeah, the queer-coded roommate.
What's that mean?
That he's gay, but the movie doesn't say he's gay.
Okay. I don't think he is. I think because they make fun of him a little bit later and he defends himself.
I don't know how defending himself makes him not gay.
They call him gay and he's like, no.
Oh, okay. That clears it up. So little Nicky falls asleep.
Yeah!
And while he falls asleep in the park, a dodgy person steals it and tries to sell it 2 meters away.
But you missed a bit in the park, because that's quite funny. That's a little bit funny as well. Come on. Where he's lying asleep in the park and he's like...
Why is that funny?
It just is. It's a funny image. It's funny, like, imagine walking through the park and you see this guy lying on a rock and he's like...
I do that all the time.
So you get for living in Hemel-Hempstead.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen worse.
See, and it was a funny image at the time. So there you go.
No, I don't co-sign that.
So she's really nice and he likes her. But while they're on their date, oh no, they run into Reese Farms sitting, eating some pizza and drinking some peppermint schnapps. And Risifan makes little Nicky say mean things to Patricia Arquette.
That's the joke?
That's the joke. It makes Nicky turn to her and be like, you have a juicy hiney. There you go. The anger's back. The anger is back. You seem so calm and collected at the start of this re-recording. And it's back. We're like 30% way through the film in a minute, if that. We got loads to go yet.
Thankfully, on this recent rewatch, I didn't hear much of the dialogue because it was so no, I was fine with it.
Well, I mean, obviously, because little Nicky gets owned by Risa Funds, he then needs to kind of hone his powers. He needs to make them better. So little Nicky and the dog sit down. And they've got a can of Coke. And the dog says, you can turn that into any liquid in the world. You can turn it into dog urine, to camel blood, whatever. Do you remember what he turns it into?
Pepsi.
In
a certain execution, I can see that scene being funny. But they dwell on it so long and they comment on it so much that it makes it really unfunny.
Okay.
You know, and that's one of the other problems with the comedy as well, is that something funny happens, and if someone comments on it, oh, this happened, and that instantly makes it not funny.
Yeah. While honing his powers, the TV's on, and on the TV, there's a basketball game showing.
Yes.
And the referee in the basketball game has, like, flamey eyes. It makes people do things in the audience, and they figure out that... The referee is one of the demon brothers that has escaped hell. Mm-hmm. So Nikki goes to the basketball game to stop him. And this is just an excuse for Adam Sandler to play basketball and to show off his basketball skills.
To show off his basketball friends who work in the industry, which he always does in every movie. His sports friends get cameos all over the place. It happens earlier in the film as well. Satan talks to some NFL guy or whatever, basketball guy or whatever.
Yes, he does, yeah. Yeah, I don't know who that was.
You just see these people's faces and they're very chiseled. And then you're like, you maybe half remembered them from like an NFL game cover, you know?
Yeah. And eventually he defeats the brother in a basketball game and catches the brother in the flask.
Mm-hmm.
Triumphantly.
Yeah. I'm scanning my brain for thoughts. And yeah, it's kind of pointless how he just plays basketball.
Yeah, it should be a fight, wasn't
it? Yeah, it should be just a fight. But funny.
So he wins. So they all celebrate. This is the bit I didn't appreciate.
Oh, this is the bit.
This is the bit I didn't appreciate. Because everything has been... I don't want to use the word subtle. Because that is not the word I need for this. But this is where I really see your point on it. Where they just belittle minorities and that kind of thing. They make a gay joke in this scene.
Mm.
They're just... quite rightly, you wouldn't put in a film these days.
I don't even remember what this is.
They're all sitting in the flats and I think someone makes a Liberace joke. They make fun of the flatmate.
Yeah.
Call him gay and he's not. He's like, no, I'm not.
Funny.
It's not at all. Even I'll admit that. Yeah, there's no place for it in a film. It's not funny. I like to think I didn't find it funny even at the age of 14.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know. But I certainly don't now.
I mean, you can do edgy jokes, but again... punching down is not funny. Edgy joke I think of the original Borat when they have the run of the Jew.
Right.
There's a guy with a mask on that has a big Jewish face on it that's also turned into a monster and he's like chasing people around. But the joke is that they're racist that much.
Yeah, the joke is that they're idiots for enjoying it.
Yes.
Not the actual...
Yes, and that's punching up.
One bit I did find funny even now in this film. I laughed, not just nostalgically, but because I thought it was still funny, is Beefy's snore. The dog, where he's like, and then it's like, la, 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 la. And the guy in the flatmate is like, that is terrifying, which it would be.
Now, this is why it could be funny, but again, he comments on it. He does that thing.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that so much.
I know, but you're supposed to relate to him. That's why he's commenting on it.
What's more important, the comedy or that you relate?
Could be either, really. Because you found it funny and then you relate to someone.
Mm-hmm.
You would laugh at the joke and then relate to the person. You wouldn't.
Okay. Well, I didn't do any of that.
One thing we did forget to mention is another running joke, because this film is full of running jokes. The Deep South. Because you can't see, I'll just describe what just happened. Dan just collapsed into a ball of despair.
Yeah, I reached critical mass and turned into a black hole. I folded on in myself.
I don't know if you were supposed to find it funny or you were supposed to laugh at him because he found it funny.
I think that's it, yeah. I think that he finds it funny that he's from the Deep South and he laughs for an uncomfortable amount of time. And that's supposed to be the joke.
Yeah, so the joke is people keep asking him where he's from. And he says, the South. The Deep South.
2 more minutes of laughing. What if that like anyway?
So because they're stoned and because he's like full of adrenaline because he beat his brother, he decides he's going to go and try and win back Valerie, is Patricia Arquette's character name. So he climbs up a window and knocks on her window.
Yeah.
And she pepper sprays him and he falls. And this is where he finds out he can fly.
Yes.
So she basically kills him. Like, yeah, she pepper sprays him and he falls off the balcony. Yeah. That's another... funny scene.
Oh, hilarious. I'm trying to think. I feel like I had something to say about this scene, but I kind of just slipped my mind.
Is it like the guy he keeps running into? There's like a cross-dresser where he knocks on the window.
It is that. Oh my god. I wish I didn't remember. Is the heavily queer-coded character. Because rubbing your nipples is so weird, right? No one does that. It's such a weird kink. That was his thing, that he rubbed his nipples.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's up to foot fetish in terms of, like, how common it is.
In your own flat, just standing there rubbing your own nipples. It's pretty odd.
I mean, you know.
Whatever you're into. I think we're finding out something here.
But just based on what other people tell me, you know. I've heard.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, it's another, like, he's gay, so it's funny.
Yeah, it's not good. But at least, like, portrayed as a nice person, at least. You know, they're like, he's upstairs, honey.
At least there's representation.
Oh my god. No.
You know, a lot of people complain these days that there's not enough representation. There's gays in this, there's people in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sadly, they're all just there so Adam Sandler can make fun of them. That's the bad news.
Yeah. Satan exists. That's why I had to rewatch this movie.
Oh my god. The surviving kind of brother becomes the mayor.
Oh yeah.
And he issues a warrant for little Nicky's arrest. And everyone... Oh,
yeah. All the different people who are not white males run after him. It's Chinese... People who work in a shop, they shout Chinese at him. People who are playing basketball in wheelchairs, they go after him. There's a fat guy who's eating a chocolate bar, and he gets up to run after him. And then he looks at a chocolate bar and he sits down. And that's the joke. I feel like there was more.
That's all I got. All of the people in the wheelchairs crash into a bus.
Oh yeah, they crash into a bus as well. Just imagine all the people from a university pamphlet just running after Lil Nicky. I have to highlight how Lil Nicky is a racist.
Yeah, and then he turns into a bunch of spiders.
Yeah.
And escapes by turning into spiders to kind of show his evil side, because he can turn into spiders. And he tries to get back to hell, and to get back to hell he needs to die. So his flatmate kills him.
Yes.
Drowns him in a bathtub.
Yeah, and he says, oh, Kevin Spacey, why did you take my role?
Okay.
Or something.
Probably for the best. But because he died for the right reasons... Oh, no, we've missed the heist. The heist where they try and trick Risa Farnes into getting into the bottle by offering him some peach schnapps. Not a necessary scene in any way, shape, or form. They try and heist him and they fail. I think the only point of this scene is so that little Nicky can save Valerie's life and get hit by a train.
Yes.
So he goes to heaven.
Yeah.
And he meets his mum, played by Reese Witherspoon. Also in this scene, I asked you last time, do you remember the other person in the scene who was an angel?
I do, and Adam Sandler's wife.
Yes, it is Adam Sandler's wife.
When you made that connection, yeah, I was like, oh yeah, she looked familiar. I think she's in most of his movies, and most of Happy Madison produced garbage fire.
Angels apparently are weird sorority girls, like, oh my god, he's so cute, oh my god.
Yeah.
Which I really hope heaven is not like. Not that I'll make it, but I really hope heaven's not like that, just full of the popular kids. That would be awful. So, Carl Weathers, he, in the Adam Sandlerverse, this is a crossover.
The HMU. Happy Madison Universe. HMCU, Happy Madison Cinematic Universe. Or HMNU, Happy Madison Netflix Universe.
Well, you could do like DCEU. It's the extended
unit. Yeah. So HMEU.
HMNEU. The Happy Madison Netflix Extended Universe.
Or just shit, for short.
Yeah, so this is a crossover. So in the film where he plays golf.
Yes.
That I've forgotten the name of. Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore. Carl Weathers is the golfing coach to Adam Sandler. And he gets eaten by a crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
And Reese Witherspoon mentions, he's like, oh, this is this guy. He used to be a golfing coach, but now he's a dance instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And they start dancing. Like, it's all in the hips. Because that's one of the running jokes in Happy Gilmore. Where that's how he learns to putt. Because it's all in the hips.
I'll veto any Adam Sandler movie from that one.
Well, if you lose the next quiz, you can't. There is no veto in quiz winning or losing. If I've got Quigley on the line... Yeah, so he meets Reese Witherspoon, and this is where he discovers he's half angel.
Yeah.
Because there was a heaven and hell mixer, and little Nicky is part angel, part demon, and this is where he learns how to release the good.
Yeah.
Release the good, and rainbows come out of his hands.
This is like a prequel to Preacher.
Obviously, this is how he is going to defeat Reese Funds. He releases the good, and he actually releases an advert for Popeye's Chicken.
Yeah. Should we talk about the shameless the Adam Sandler staple?
His product placement.
Product placement.
Is Popeye's an actual chicken chain?
It must be. It resembles his other type of shameless product placements in other movies so much. It must be a real thing. Also, I feel like if they have to come up with their own thing, they wouldn't be as interesting as Popeye's chicken. It'd be like tasty chicken, and it would be on in Times New Roman. You know?
Yeah.
So, it must be.
And then, obviously, because he's evil, and this is what evil people do, Reese Farnes has all of Nicky's friends hanging over a fire pit by Wedgie.
Yes.
I can't remember why. Why does Henry Winkler get covered in bees?
I'll tell you why. Henry Winkler is friends with Adam Sandler, and he wanted a quick paycheck, and it's funny because he's famous.
Okay.
I guess.
But they introduce him as like, this is a good thing. Henry Winkler, covered in bees.
Yeah, easy check for him.
So there's a big showdown. Well, there's two big showdowns. One is a pillow fight between Adam Sandler and Reese Farnes. He becomes like a nunchuck wielding, well, with a pillow.
Yeah.
And he beats Reese Farnes.
I feel like that's not in theme.
No?
Not that, you know, we're way on the lower level of criticizing themes and stuff, but little Nicky just learned how to use good, and then he's fighting.
But that's the point. He's both.
Okay.
He can use his demon side and his angel side. Works on many levels. And then something happens that I can't explain. They all get put into the flask. Do you remember this?
Yes. Well, I can explain it. It's easy. Both get into a flask and they fight in a flask. So the flask just jumps around. Yeah, it's cheap. But also, I didn't mind it that much because I can understand that being a comedic bit.
Yeah, so you think there's going to be an even bigger showdown, but they actually, all you see is this flask like flopping all over the floor.
Yeah,
and then a voiceover like, "Oi, Adrian, blah, poof, Wedgie."
The problem, it went on too long, and all the people shouting in was supposed to be the real funny bit, which is Rob Schneider.
You can do it!
Rob Schneider whips out one of his two racist accents and says, "You can do it, punch him in his hairy balls," or something.
Yeah.
And he says that like five times, and, you know, comedy comes in fives.
Yeah, so they fight in the flask, and then Nicky escapes, but it's not Nicky. It's Reese Funds, and then little Nicky actually does escape. Reese Funds turns into a bat. Ozzy Osbourne appears from somewhere.
Little Nicky has an orb.
Yes!
That God gave him, and is like, oh, you know what to do with it.
Yeah, his mum gave him an orb. And it's like, yeah, you'll know what to do with it when the time comes. So he breaks this heavenly orb, and Ozzy Osbourne appears to grab the bat out of the sky. And you can do it, Ozzy. Bite his fucking head off. And Ozzy Osbourne bites the head of the bat, spits it into the flask, gives the flask to Nicky. He runs down to hell, saves his dad. Happy ending.
Do you remember Ozzy Osbourne?
I vaguely remember him.
he bit the head of a bat.
He did bite the head off a bat.
And then he did it in this movie.
Yes.
And that's the joke.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
I remember. And there we go, there's little Nicky.
And there's little flashcards at the end, like where people ended up.
Yes.
And the movie has to squeeze in one more ableist joke before it ends. You know, they didn't make that quota yet, which is, oh, little Nicky's fucked up face got fixed at some point.
Yep.
Thank you, movie. It was very funny. Yeah.
Yeah. were there any parts of it that you enjoyed?
No. No. Not even theoretically.
The reason this all came about is because I watched The Waterboy with my now wife, and it did not age well. And I can safely say this has not aged well either. Mm-hmm. Again, to my 14-year-old brain, it was hilarious at the time.
I can understand that. And that was, you know, it was a different time as well.
Yeah, which is almost never a good enough excuse for anything, really.
No, but, you know, you gotta give yourself a break as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I like a lot of crappy stuff from that time as well. Yeah, I think a lot of people say that Adam Sandler movies, they used to be good.
Yeah.
But they're not anymore. And I feel like those people haven't seen those old ones recently.
Yeah.
To be fair, it seems like they have more effort put into them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it.
Yeah, I'm both curious and scared to watch any more that I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Like Happy Gilmore. I remember that being like a really good film.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we used to quote it all the time, and we still do. I'm scared to watch that film now. Like, I'm worried.
You should be scared to watch his modern films, because if anything, he's gone more racist and more ableist.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch a new Adam Sandler film.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't do it. But, like, I don't want to ruin the films that I do enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to bring... I remember really liking Little Nicky, and now I've seen it again, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
And that's ruined that film for me, whereas I had a fond memory of it before, and now I don't.
Yeah, fun fact, Adam Sandler is remaking The Birth of a Nation.
Such is the state of Adam Sandler films that I can't tell if you're joking. Yeah, so thank you for listening. I think we're going to end it there.
How did we talk about this for an hour and 20 minutes again?
Because it's awesome.